Hello everyone, welcome to Cloud Tech Talks, your go-to cloud podcast from Amadeus Technologies. I'm Sindhu. Let's continue the discussion on maintaining fiscal discipline under economic uncertainty, cloud FinOps in public sector transportation.
All right, Arvind. So let's talk about your experience. You might have encountered multiple challenges in implementing FinOps. So as a FinOps practitioner in the public sector, what are the top three challenges that you have tackled, Arvind?
Sure. One of the biggest challenges which I would say as a FinOps leader in the public sector is to establish a good understanding of cloud cost management, especially among the non-IT functions. So if I talk about, say, the finance function, who have done, you know, budgeting in a very traditional way, where we do like an annual budgeting cycle, and they probably might not be aware of how cloud consumption or the variable spend model of cloud impacts the budgeting process, and how do we need to kind of have flexibility in our processes to support that kind of variability when it comes to cloud. So educating them about that and making them understand and appreciate. So we do kind of run forums specifically to help them understand how the cloud overrun happens and why does it happen, what are the key drivers for the overrun, how and what are the mitigation strategies that we have to actually optimize those overruns. So that's something that, you know, having that even for commercial teams or procurement teams who actually spend a lot of time trying to contract with the cloud service providers, there's a need to basically educate them that how to create like a multi-year, like a demand view. Like, you know, they may not be very conversant in terms of how the cloud demand might shape, you know, maybe 2 years or 3 years down the line, because these contracts typically tend to be 3 to 5 years in nature. So that's where, again, as a FinOps practice, we actually come in to educate them and to build these models and to give visibility in terms of how it's a function of price and quantity, how the quantity might grow over the next few years and how the price would probably grow, and then give that view back to commercial teams. So that building that common understanding. The second part is there is a natural resistance within organizations to towards the democratization of cloud, and also towards, you know, there is a natural like limitation in terms of decentralizing the cloud awareness. And now this specifically I'm talking about like the technology teams, wherein they have been traditionally responsible for the hosting services, for offering the hosting services. They own the central IT infrastructure, and for them to kind of let go of that kind of level of control, because cloud is kind of democratic, it is being used at the edge, it kind of needs a little bit of understanding and ensuring that they sufficiently enable those application product teams to actually use cloud on their own and not keep all of that operational control on the cloud, and which is actually quite difficult. So that's where I think there has been a challenge, and it's purely because of the number of the SKUs that you have in cloud. Like, I mean, you have 20 to 30 different services provisioned across hundreds of environments, which is very, very complex, you know, to manage. And that's where I think we as FinOps team work, you know, with the central teams to implement certain policies and tagging standards, for example, you know, provide the light level of detail in terms of what are the run costs of cloud by, say, account or subscription or by service or even by application. So we give that level of visibility so that we cover, you know, not just from the central IT team's perspective, but also from the product owner's perspective. So from the product owner's perspective, I would argue that typically these OPEX budgets for cloud are sitting with the central IT teams, and they are not necessarily allocated to the business or product team. So as a result, they may not have the necessary level of ownership for those costs which they are incurring on cloud. And they may not even have the visibility because the resources may not be appropriately tagged. So they may not have the visibility in terms of the cloud costs. So as a result, if the central teams propose any kind of IT infrastructure optimization, you know, the application teams might be a bit resistant to adopt that change because they're concerned about how it might impact their application performance. And that's where I think the FinOps teams come in to actually, you know, play that role in terms of ensuring that that is the impact on application performance, you know, will be minimal in terms of what we are optimizing, and giving that kind of overview of what kind of infrastructure are we optimizing, and ensuring we have the right amount of supporting processes in place to drive that optimization. So and lastly, I think the challenge which I faced as a public leader is just in terms of policy enforcement on to govern the cloud costs. You see, historically, the way cloud has evolved, security has been job zero for most organizations. And organizations have invested in developing very advanced security policies, cyber security policies, to ensure that all their virtual machines have security agents, they have patched all the virtual machines and so on. So all of that is kind of taken care of from a security standpoint. But when it comes to cost, it's not treated at the same level of functional requirement, you know, as security. Sure. And as a result, we do see that teams do, I mean, infrastructure may be provisioned without the right amount of controls in terms of visibility, you know, in terms of tagging or on and things like that. That results in like very practical challenges to be able to hold teams accountable for their cloud costs. We have been trying to mitigate that kind of challenge when it comes to visibility on cloud costs by publishing those reports, making it available to teams through our own internal reports, even on a daily basis. We actually do daily monitoring of tagged costs, which is actually quite exciting because it gives direct visibility and it builds level of ownership with the teams to actually work towards, you know, improving that visibility to be able to even recover any cost overruns. So I think those are the three main challenges I faced. Yeah.
Right, visibility and reporting and analytics to the right person is one of the biggest challenges that you face. Got it. So do you use any cloud cost optimization tools for that matter, Aravind, or you leverage manual efforts or your internal CloudFinOps Center of Excellence for this optimization?
Yeah. So we do have a number of tools that you know we do use. I mean, we use certain more standard you know tools that are available in the market for multi-cloud reporting. So we use that, you know, we use our own internal reporting capability by, and so we use Power BI, wherein we use Power BI to do our internal cost reporting to all our users. And yeah, we have a very wide user base, but yeah, we actually, use data sets, you know, out of our cloud service providers to actually, you know, publish, develop reports and share it with the audience. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Now, this question comes to me now. So can you share with us a success story or a case study from your experience, Aravind? So something that significantly improved the financial efficiency.
Thank you. Thanks, Indupriya, for asking me this question. Yeah. One of the core principles of the central FinOps practice is to drive a cultural change. A lot of the technical optimizations are generally owned by the operations team. And the role of the central FinOps practice is to drive that cultural change. So one such initiative which I actually undertook was to support our end of year shutdown program. So as you know that in Australia, the end of year is basically is a time when the business activity really slows down. And there's an opportunity for us to shut down several of the enterprise IT systems, especially in the non-production environments, to save. That's something that we engage in, and it's pretty significant. Now, this practice has been run, you know, for a few cycles before the transport. So what I have done, like differently, you know, since joining, is basically introduce an element of gamification in that process. So it's not just a very dry process where teams have to just opt in to shut down their environments. But there's a bit of a competition or a competitive spirit, you know, that is created between the different teams to see who might actually end up having the best savings, you know, during that period. So what we did is we established like a consistent methodology to how to measure the cost avoided during the shutdown period. So the shutdown period is typically about 2 to 3 weeks towards the end of the calendar year. And we baseline the costs of these environments 2 weeks ahead of the shutdown. So we have a steady state view of the cost that they would have incurred if there was no shutdown. And during the shutdown, then we actually monitor the actual costs that are being incurred and then publish like a cost avoidance percentage and created a leaderboard. We depict which of the, like we had 8 business teams participating in this exercise, and we could, you know, publish, rank them based on the percentage of cost avoided, which is pretty interesting because then, you know, teams would go and check, you know, their own reports and dashboard to see how they are ranking. They will engage within their own, individual communities, you know, within the Yammer pages, and they start promoting that, you know, which team is actually doing pretty well. It allowed us to teams, you know, embrace a culture of cost awareness and cost consciousness. I think a significant achievement. And just to kind of add in terms of the outcomes that we were able to drive that during the shutdown itself, roughly 60% of the VMs were actually turned off, you know, across, and more than 85% of the environments actually participated in this exercise. And we did see that even after the shutdown actually was over, almost 20% of the VMs continued to remain shut down, which actually leads to ongoing cost avoidance. It's not just cost avoided during that period, but it is ongoing because we did not enable any automatic restart of these environments. So that was something that we ensured. So I think that was a very significant exercise, and it got a lot of visibility in the organization. It was even published through our leadership channels to the teams. And I think teams recognized their achievements and their efforts were recognized by the wider leadership. I think that was something quite significant. Yeah.
That's great to know. That sounds like more of a gamification in FinOps. So everyone will definitely get excited when they have some fun elements added to their everyday job. If they have a ranking, they have this excitement and curiosity to go and check, okay, whether they are competing enough. So definitely the culture will set on its own. It will follow on its own. Great to know. So Arvind, how do you see the FinOps practice evolving and maturing in the public sector? What do you foresee?
So, yeah, I think it's still very early stages. I would say, firstly, to begin with, FinOps in public sector is still pretty much in the nascent stages. I do see the public sector has a lot of place to kind of become mature in terms of the FinOps practice. But having said that, I think there are three major areas which I can see public sector really evolving in FinOps. One is just the increasing use of automation and advanced analytics. I think purely I can see the need to basically evolve from to more of, you know, ensuring that, you know, for example, we use tools and systems that allow integration of, say, FinOps tasks with the DevOps tasks. For example, like if you want to kind of implement a recommendation, a FinOps recommendation, how do you integrate it in the existing DevOps pipeline and ensure that it is kind of getting implemented through that pipeline directly? When it comes to things like, you know, creating forecasts, instead of relying on more static forecasting models, I think how do you evolve to actually doing some kind of a machine learning generated forecast? Can you do more of machine learning generated forecast to be able to improve predictability of your cloud spend and maybe even anticipate any overruns, you know, in advance and ensure that you have the funds or the funding to actually cover for that cloud spend? I can see that kind of playing a big role in terms of the evolution of the FinOps practice. The second thing which I thing is kind of very important is around making it more policy driven. FinOps will end up becoming more and more policy driven going forward. So when it comes to, for example, you know, ensuring that there's the right amount of governance standards or cost compliance standards that are being adhered to when you actually implement FinOps, and also this will ensure that, you know, we have the right level of benchmarks that we can establish for the FinOps practice. So when it comes to within public sector, you know, we have right now there's not as much data around how public sector organizations are performing in FinOps as compared to, say, what we see in the private sector. And that's a great opportunity for all of the government agencies to come together and implement a more consistent, you know, policy-driven FinOps, which allows them to actually even compare how different agencies or different clusters within the government are performing in terms of their FinOps practice. I think this will actually necessitate needs like, you know, ensuring that any infrastructure that is provisioned is carrying the appropriate tags, for example, you know, to have visibility or have the right level of monitoring tools available to ensure that, you know, these resources can be inspected closely. So all of that will, I think, come together, you know, to drive that more policy-driven approach on FinOps. I think that is probably number two. Number three, which I see, is more about, I think, embedding sustainability within FinOps. And I think that's a pretty big call out for public sector. As you know, like even transport has a grand ambition of having zero emission buses, 100% zero emission buses by 2050. So that's a pretty massive ambition to carry, and to ensure that, you know, we move in that direction, we need to embed not just cost, but also the environmental impact of cloud operations and assessing and being able to assess the environmental impact of those operations as a key pillar, you know, when it comes to embracing FinOps. So I do see a lot of green ops kind of converging with FinOps in the public sector space, because they obviously are accountable, you know, for the welfare of the citizens. And I think it's very critical for them to look into this. Yeah.
Policies are coming in, Arvind. For example, focus of FinOps open cost and usage specification from the FinOps Foundation is gaining traction. And sustainability for that matter, Arvind, as you said, Australian government is taking phenomenal efforts. Not just that, across the world, almost all the government bodies are putting in their best efforts to bring that into action, to enable everyone here to live in a carbon-free world. Let's hope for the best to happen. So we have come to the end of the episode, Arvind. Before closing, would you like to say anything about Cloud Tech Talks?
I think it's a great initiative by Amadeus to host these tech talks and actually build a community of, you know, people who are interested in knowing more about cloud or FinOps. And I think FinOps I do see as a more of a global practice. So I think as a member of the FinOps Foundation myself, I have benefited personally by engaging with my peers and my community globally. And I think the way I think these cloud tech talks run with a very wide, you know, variety of, you know, speakers that you have, I think it's pretty interesting to listen in and learn something new that, you know, we might have not known as a FinOps practitioner. So I'm really, I think, great work, you know, being done by Amadeus.
Thank you so much, Aravind. It means a lot to us. Listeners, hope you enjoyed the complete conversation and made note of what's happening in public sector FinOps. So as we always say, if you have any challenges in your cloud optimization, write to us at info@amadeusglobal.com. We'll bring the right expert to address that and we'll sort that out together. You're not alone.